Good evening. It's good to be with you tonight. You heard the man. Open to Judges, the 14th chapter. We're going to talk about Caleb tonight. He said he wanted the same thing. So, okay. There's a lot of things that you could be doing tonight. You could have chosen to do instead of being here. And it says a lot about you that you have chosen to be among God's people, serving him on a Sunday night. If you would, go ahead and open to James, the 4th chapter. We're going to be studying a few verses in this tonight pertaining to one question. What do you want? What is it that you want in this life? Starting in verse 1 of the 4th chapter of James. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Yet you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This past year, I've witnessed several conflicts among Christians within churches, and it's been pretty devastating. But there's something in common. It might not be over the same issue exactly, but the source is always the same. In every one of these conflicts, at least one of the people involved is focused more on their own selfish ambition, their own personal gain, than what God wants. And what they want for the church is more important to them than what God wants for the church. So tonight I want to talk to you about why it is that people want something different than what God wants and how we can fix that attitude. People don't like conflict. It's a natural aversion that humans have. 9 out of 10 people you ask them if there's a way to do something, if one of the ways is to confront someone about the issue and the other way is to somehow skirt around that, they'll choose the second option, 9 out of 10 people. Because we don't like to confront each other. We don't like conflict. And the same goes for Christians. Unfortunately, conflict is sometimes necessary for growth in the church. So what do you want for the church? Do you want comfort? Do you want feigned happiness? To have a false sense of unity? For everything to be kind of quiet? No trouble? Or do you want truth? Do you want to be united in the truth? To love each other and have true joy and grow for God? Church isn't always comfortable, and we have to face that reality. And oftentimes, I think we want it to be, and we just kind of settle into a groove, and we like things the way they are, and we want to keep them going that way. And we would do several things to avoid having to confront people. But that's not right. The church isn't comfortable because it's full of imperfect people. We mess up. And the reason it gets uncomfortable is because when we mess up, it has been given to us, our duty is to correct each other, to edify each other, and help build each other up. And in order to do that, sometimes we have to point out where our brethren are wrong. But we don't want to hear that, and we don't want to say that to someone. Most people. But it's what we're supposed to do. It's been given to us in God's Word to help each other. And that's the only way it can be done. If you would rather let your brother sin and continue sinning and not say anything about it so you feel comfortable, shame on you. That's not right. Your brother's soul is more important than your comfortableness. As Christians, we have to stand for the truth, even if the other people around us do not, especially if brethren in the church disagree with what God's Word says. If they're acting on selfish ambition and their own personal desires, and that is in disagreement with what God says, you have to say something to them about that. It's what's best for the church, and it's the only way it can stay true to God and do His work. Churches experience growing pains. It is a temporary necessity in order to get to a better place for God's work to be done. And we don't like it at the moment, but it has to happen. And some people, in order to avoid conflict or in order to avoid feeling uncomfortable, will leave the church because they would rather feel good than hear the truth. But as long as you stand with the truth, God approves of you. And it doesn't matter how many people are in the church. If the church is doing God's work, then He approves. It doesn't have to be big. He wants you to work for Him and to stand for what's right. And if that causes conflict, then it is necessary. We can't be unified under a false pretense of happiness. Some people will pretend to not notice things so that everybody can stay happy. But they're not really happy. They're faking it. And it's not just that we shouldn't be unified under that. It's not possible. The only way we can be unified with each other is if we stand in the truth in God's Word. And if you disagree with that, then you are causing problems. And here's the truth. It doesn't matter what you want if it's not what God wants. People spend far too much time trying to do the impossible. They try to bend God's will to look like their own will. But you can't do it. It can't be done. We have to make our will look like His will. Jesus changed His own will and died on the cross for us because that is what God said needed to be done. But you don't want to talk to your brother because they said something wrong. Jesus died, but you want to feel good, so you just let it slide. We can't change the truth. It gives us freedom from sin, gives us the path to Christ, gives us eternal life. We can't change it, it changes us. The truth is designed to convict us and change us. And some people don't like change. And so they would rather stay the same and be wrong than hear what God has to say. In James chapter 3, James talks about the tongue and how dangerous it can be. And it is fascinating how such a small part of the body can get us into so much trouble so often. But it can be a great tool in the service of the Lord if you use it correctly. We understand that we're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to gossip and sow discord. But do we understand that in a conflict within the church, it's not enough to not do those things? We have to implement the positive inverse of that. It's not just about not doing bad things with our mouths or our attitudes, but we have to do something positive to offset that, to effect change, to do what's right. And so, if you are in a situation where you're in conflict with someone, or you see something that is happening that is not right, and it could potentially cause disharmony in the church, or cause a larger problem than just between two Christians, let them sort that out for themselves. The Bible says that. But if it becomes a church issue, and you see something going on, but everybody's just kind of letting it slide, do something. You have to say something. You cannot sit back and be quiet when there is unrest. When things are not being done God's way, you have to fix that. Because it is going to cause bigger problems than you can imagine. And I think we've all been through situations like that. It's not about being comfortable, it's about being right. If you want the church to be some sort of delusional fraternity that constantly compromises in order to keep everybody happy, then you have to change your attitude or you need to find somewhere else to go. Because Manslick Road is not the place to have that attitude at. This is a place for God's people to do God's work. So get with it or get out of the way. The church is a great thing. And I know that we've experienced problems, all of us have, before. Within the church. But that's such a small part of what happens. The church is a family. And it's knitted together in love and joy. And it does good things for God and other people. And being a part of it is the best part of this life. And sometimes it gets uncomfortable, but it's absolutely worth it. If you stick with it and you do what God says and you persevere and you do what's right, it's worth it here and it's worth it after this life is over. Speaking of family, if you would skip down to verse 8 of chapter 4. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. I want to talk about the family in reference to this verse. What do you want for your family? You should want them to go to heaven. But we're presented with a couple of options. I know many people have close members of their family who are outside of the Lord. I do, on both sides of my family. And you are given two options here. Do you want happiness here, good memories, approval from other people who disagree with you? Everybody together on holidays, pretending like everything's okay? Or do you want true love and truth, a bond in that, an eternity in heaven with your family? I know that a lot of people kind of opt to ignore any sort of religious differences in their family because you can't choose your family. But you can choose to do what's right. And if they're not choosing to do what's right, you need to say something about that. Because being with them in heaven is far more important than having all good times with them here. Now, what James is talking about in this verse, he's talking about life. Sometimes it's necessary to take a break from laughter and good times and be sober-minded and realize that you have to fix some things. And if some of your family members are amiss, you should talk to them about that. Because even if it makes you uncomfortable or you don't like it, if you don't say anything about that now, you're not going to get a chance to say anything about it on Judgment Day. And the longer you wait, the more comfortable they get with how comfortable you are with the way they live their life. By keeping silent, you condone their activity. It seems to them like you approve of how they live, and that it doesn't really matter to you, and that everybody can just sort of do their own thing, and we'll all be happy, and we'll all be a family. But if they're not following God, it doesn't matter at all how much fun you have with them here, how many Christmases you spend together, how many Thanksgivings you spend around the table together, all the good memories. It's not going to be worth anything if you get to Judgment Day and they're not with you. If you don't get to spend eternity together, then all of this, all the time you had with them, wasted. Don't waste any more of your time with family members who aren't right in God's eyes. You need to talk to them. And if you haven't, do it as soon as you can. Because none of this will matter if you don't. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus addresses this in verse 34. He says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." If you say you love your family, you're going to do what's best for them. If you really love those people, you will address the state of their soul. Because that is more important than anything that happens here. You guys don't talk for a while because they're upset about that, then so be it. But at least you tried. And there have been so many times that people have done that, and it's made them uncomfortable, and it's upset their family, but their family came to their senses, and they realized that they weren't right with God, and they got their lives right. And those people can be together in heaven. That should bring you more joy than spending the holidays together, for sure. I had a best friend growing up who was like a brother to me. We spent a lot of time together from fourth grade until all the way through high school. And for a long time, I avoided talking to him about our religious differences because he was the best friend that I had, and I didn't want to lose that relationship. But when we went to college, he went to Florida, and I stayed in Kentucky, and we kind of lost touch, and we don't really talk that much anymore. And I'd brought it up to him, but I'd never really had a serious discussion with him or really had him convicted about the way he was living. And I may have missed my chance. Don't. Don't waste any more opportunities with the people you love to tell them about Jesus. Don't sacrifice truth for comfort. It's not worth it. It won't ever be worth it. Because the truth is what gives us true comfort. In times of need, who do you turn to? The people you stand with in truth. Not the people you work with. Not your acquaintances, not your friends. The Christians that you share an eternal bond with, those are the people that are there for you when you need them most. Don't sacrifice truth for comfort. So, we talked about the church, we talked about family and friends, but it's If you're not convicted about that, be convicted about this. It doesn't just affect those people. It doesn't just affect your brethren. It doesn't just affect your family or your friends. It affects your soul. What do you want for yourself? Because a lifetime of happiness here, in exchange for your soul, it's not worth it. If you would, look at the end of James chapter 4 with me. We're going to be reading starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So what if you're uncomfortable for a few moments in your life? If you don't address the problems that come up with the people around you, you're going to be held accountable for that. If you just let everything slide in order to have a decent earthly relationship with some of the people around you, you're going to be held accountable for that. James says here, we're not promised tomorrow. You can't wait any longer to do what is right. If you know that somebody needs to be talked to, somebody needs to hear the truth from you, do that. Because to him who knows what is right and does not do it, that's sin. So it hurts you to not do it just as much as it hurts everybody else. We need to stop being so selfish when it comes to relationships. The way we feel about conflict, peace, any of our relationships in this life, it doesn't matter if we cannot help the people around us get to heaven. So if you're going to sacrifice that for temporary comfort after hearing the Word of God convict you about that, I don't know how to help you. We have to stop hardening our hearts. Because there are souls at stake. If you're a Christian and you've been avoiding talking to people about God's Word, and you love those people, it's time to get to work. We can't waste any more opportunities. You got to start doing that tonight. And if you're not a Christian and somebody has loved you enough to tell you the truth or to get you interested enough to come here tonight, we can help you. There is life to be had beyond this. And it is so much better than you could ever imagine. Whatever it is that you need to do, please do it tonight. And if you're not a Christian and you know what you need to do, please come now as we stand and sing.